If you got your Bibles, I'll ask that you turn with me to Luke chapter 10. How many of you have been able to hear the teachings that Brother Billy has been able to give us over the last few weeks, especially on Wednesday night? Wednesday and Sunday nights, I enjoy every message, don't y'all? Every message. And I can tell you this morning that I'm not second string or third string. I don't know what part of the string I'm on. I'm probably the knot at the end of it this morning, filling in for Brother Billy this morning. But I have enjoyed everything that he has given us over the last, well, this year, as a matter of fact, drawing close to him, more like him. Amen? But Wednesday and Sunday nights have been such a blessing to me. Even when he started talking about the drawing close to him and that, how that's a nautical term, how a sail, when it's like on a sailboat, when it's filled up with the air that blows that sailboat, that is what the drawing is drawing close to him. And I want to be drawn close to him. I want my sails to open up so I can be drawn closer to him. But over the last couple of Wednesday nights and Sunday nights, when the time has allowed, he's been able to talk about the Matthew 11, 28 through 30, about how he's meek and lowly. That's just been a blessing to me. And I encourage you to go back, if you get an opportunity to get the CDs or the DVDs even, to listen to those teachings. Man, they will bless your heart. I promise you they will. And I don't know what it was, but along the way, I got a word, so to speak, through this particular teaching that he's been giving us. And I think some of this kind of falls in place, at least it does in the order of, in chronological fashion, if you will. And this has been a blessing to me as I've gone over it and find myself being in the same predicament sometimes that we'll find in these characters that we read about today. And so if you're in Luke chapter 10, say amen. Amen. And let's begin by reading verse 38. Verse 38. Now it came to pass as they went out that he entered into a certain village, and a certain woman named Martha received him unto her house. And she had a sister called Mary, which also sat at Jesus' feet and heard his word. But Martha was cumbered about much serving and came to him and said, Lord, dost thou not care that my sister hath left me to serve alone? Bid her therefore that she help me. And Jesus answered and said unto her, Martha, Martha, thou art careful and troubled about many things, but one thing is needful, and Mary hath chosen that good part, which shall not be taken away from her. Let's go before the Lord in prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, I pray, God, that we would find ourselves seeking after that needful part, God, in our own lives. Lord, that we would be willing to set ourselves down at the feet of Jesus and hear the words of life, God, that will encourage us to go from day to day and not get so caught up in the mundane things of life and the busyness of things that take us away from serving you and listening to you. That still small voice, Lord, that speaks peace into our lives and to our hearts. May we find ourselves there at your feet. And may this word in which we have today, God, be a blessing and encouragement to your people. God, may we again leave out of this place better than the way we came in the door, but also challenged to draw closer to you and being more like you. God, help us to do something like we've never done before. Speak to somebody on behalf of Jesus, God, and let them know what he's done for us so that he'll do the same for them. God, we love you. We thank you. Bless Brother Billy to where he is. Flow through me, touch through me, and bless through me today. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. Now, let's go back a little bit on the background of this particular thing this morning. So, Jesus is coming out of Capernaum, and you have to kind of go back through the different Gospels here to kind of see this, but he's coming out of Capernaum up at the northern shore of the Sea of Galilee, and he's heading somewhat south through the general area called Perea, I guess you could say. And he tries to enter, and he makes a roundabout turn, if you will, and tries to go into the city, the village or city, if you will, of Samaria, and there he's rejected. And a lot of times we look at the Samaritans because we associate them with the story of the Good Samaritan, right? But you know what? The Samaritans, like the Jews, reject Jesus Christ. And so he tries to make a roundabout way through the city of Samaria, I guess you could say, and then he's rejected there. And then all of a sudden we come into the part where on his journey, he interviews three different disciples. Y'all remember the stories there? He interviews one. One of them says, Master, I will follow you wherever you go. And Jesus Christ responds back to him, Foxes have holes and birds have nests, but the Son of Man has no place to lay his head. That's not something that, on a job interview you'd like to hear, right? I don't know about you. I'm looking for a job. I'm going to follow you. I'm going to do whatever you have to do. And he says, Well, I don't know if that's going to be such a good thing for you. The next one says, Jesus says to another, follow me. And the guy says, yes, I will. But let me go home first. and bury my father first. And he says, let the dead bury their dead. And then the third one, he comes up and says, I'll follow you, Lord, but let me bid my family farewell. And he says, nobody, no one who puts his hand to the plow and looks back is fit for the kingdom. Man, that's some interesting stuff right there. We could pause right there and go deep into that stuff, but we're trying to get to the passage we read today. And then, of course, he sends out the 70 disciples, and he sends them out, and he gives them power to do certain things in his name and so forth. And even after he sends them out, it's another great lesson for us this morning, that he doesn't just stop there and wait for them to go and do the work and just let them do it all by themselves. He sends them out into the mission field, I guess you can say, and even he goes out and preaches himself. And then they come back. Jesus Christ is out preaching, and this is kind of where we get into the Matthew chapter 11, the end of that, where he's the burden bearer at the end of that chapter, and then he's meek and lowly. And then he receives the 70 back to him, and he hears their testimony. And they're saying, Lord, even the demons are cast out through us in your name. And he advises them, well, I've given you power to do these things, and that's good to hear, but let me advise you. He advises them to not be so amazed by this as it is to have their names written in heaven. That's another great lesson for us. And then he goes into the parable of who is our neighbor, how to know just who our neighbor is. Y'all remember that that lawyer, that scribe, if you will, and he pops up and he asks that question, hey, what do you think's the greatest commandment? And Jesus already knows the answer. The scribe knows the answer. But then, of course, you know, scripture says he has to prove himself. And he asks the question, well, just who is my neighbor? And Jesus Christ gives him the story that you know is the Good Samaritan, how this guy's down in the ditch and all these different groups pass by. And of course, we all know that the Samaritans are not on favorable terms with the Jews in their own eyes. And then he says, he gives them this last thing, because the you got to understand, the illustration of the Samaritan was not one of those things that was well received by the Jews. But then he says, go and do thou likewise. That wasn't the best thing in the world to be saying to a Jew. And then it brings us to this particular passage that we're reading here at the end of Luke 10. So let's set the stage for this interaction with the Savior this morning. So verse 38. Now it came to pass as they went that he entered into a certain village, and a certain woman named Martha received him in her house. Now on his particular journey, Jesus is again headed south, and he ends up in this city called Bethany, and it's just about 2 miles outside of Jerusalem. About 2 miles outside Jerusalem. You gotta understand the time frame that's going on here. He's not being well received, Jesus isn't. Because they look at him and say his message is not in line with what they know. That's, you ever run across any other religious people that say, oh, that ain't quite what that way. We do it a certain way. Well, the Bible says we need to do it this way, and I'm gonna follow the Bible. Anybody like that in there? That's where we need to go this morning. But we should take note that he's coming into Bethany and he's welcomed by this person who's pointed out in Scripture in this passage, Martha. Of course, you know Martha be the sister of Lazarus and a younger sister named Mary. But we should take note that this is the entire entourage of Jesus. This is not just Jesus himself coming into the house. No, this is Jesus and the disciples coming into the house. And it says that he is received. Now, the little word received does not mean, well, I reckon so, or just this once. Y'all come on in the house. No, it doesn't mean, well, it's not one of those things when your husband invites your in-laws for dinner and forgot to tell you. Anybody like that in the house this morning? I see some heads nodding this morning, amen. Okay, Danny, you're in trouble, buddy. It's not one of those things, but it is to entertain hospitably. Y'all come on in. It's all right. Y'all come on in. Y'all come. It's kindly received is what we're looking at. And Jesus is being kindly received into Martha's home. Martha is something special for us to look at, but we tend to look at her in a negative light. I don't want us to look at some other things about Martha this morning, but verse 39, and she had a sister called Mary, which also sat at Jesus' feet and heard his word. Now, many of us tend to overlook this little part, solely focusing in on Martha and her busyness this morning. But we seem to forget that Mary was helping out as well. But she finds herself sitting at the feet of Jesus, but it says, which also sat at Jesus' feet. That means she was doing something too, other than sitting at the feet of Jesus. So Mary was helping in the preparations too, but gets caught up in the moment with Jesus, and she heard his word. And that means she kept on listening. It got good to her. Boy, we find ourselves so many times in our lives, we get caught up like Martha. Boy, there's something for us to do in the church house, right? There's some kind of work for us to do, and we get caught up in the work that we miss out on the blessing of being at the feet of Jesus when he's speaking. Now, you'll find yourself in this in just a moment. I believe you will. I know that we have some folks like that in the house this morning. But moving on, but Martha was cumbered about much serving and came to him and said, Lord, dost thou not care that my sister hath left me alone to serve alone? Better therefore that she come and help me. She's left the helping, so that just proves that she was helping in the kitchen, but she's got caught up with Jesus. And now Martha comes in and says, bid her there that she should help me. Therefore, my old Martha, boy, she was cumbered. She, as the word says, that means being distracted. So Martha was distracted from things that Mary was hearing. Martha was so busy that she was missing out on the things that Mary was taking in and soaking up and was focused solely on serving. And she comes in where Jesus is and says, hey, Jesus, hey, Jesus. That girl right there, that my sister right there, would you bid her to help? Would you command her to get up off her rear end and come back into the kitchen and help me? How many of you been in the kitchen, been left alone by other family members? Anybody in the house this morning? Amen. I try to stay out of that place, boy. Can I get amen this morning? Well, we see that wanting to command her sister to get up. And Jesus answered and said in her, verse 41, Martha, Martha, thou art careful and troubled about many things, but one thing is needful. And Mary hath chosen that good part, which shall not be taken away from her. We see the loving reproof of Christ here in this particular instance to Martha in this scenario. He's not mad at her for coming in on that situation. He's not mad at her. He doesn't get up and shout. He's not blown away by her request, as some of us probably would. But I want you to take note that he does repeat her name, Martha, Martha. I can just see it from a parental standpoint when our children come, mine especially, when my children come to me and they say something off the wall. I mean, just wait. Matthew. Matthew. Can I get a witness about there, buddy? But we find this same situation in other portions of Scripture as well. We see that we understand that Martha is a careful homemaker, and she's considered pious or even very devout in this particular way of life. No doubt that she knows how to entertain guests. No doubt she knows that. There's no doubt in my mind that she knows how to make this particular house a home. And she's perhaps a widow, as we don't know for sure, but it's the place where Lazarus and Mary reside as well. We also recognize that the relationship with Jesus is a little deeper than with some other folks that he may have come across. Maybe that's because of his relationship with Lazarus. But Christ had some particular friends. And although he loved everybody, but some were even closer and visited a little more often. And even Christ said in John 14:23 that Jesus answered and said unto him, if a man love me, he'll keep my words. And if my Father will love him, and we will come unto him and make our abode with him. Now that speaks to something even better than visiting our earthly home, but taking up residence in our hearts. That's key. But it's also somewhat mimicked, I guess you could say, in Revelation 3:20. Behold, I stand at the door and knock. And if any man hear my voice and open the door, I will come into him and will sup with him and he with me. So we've set the stage just a little bit this morning to give us a little bit of background about what we're seeing. But what I want you to see here is that we should not let our service rob us of a joy and or a blessing this morning. You see, we can get so busy, we can become so enamored in serving and in serving him that we lose sight or lose touch with the sweet fellowship that comes with our relationship with him. We get so bogged down in the ministry. Brother Gary, can I get a witness as a pastor, as a minister? Brother Tim, can we get so focused on serving other people and trying to minister for Jesus Christ that we forget to be ministered unto by him? That's key this morning. That's something that we should all take note of this morning. You know what? Let me ask you this question. You know what's easy? Noticing what everyone else is doing wrong. That's easy, right? Martha sure picked it out real quick, like. But you know what's hard? Admitting when we're the problem. The fellowship breakdown is not on his behalf, it's on my behalf. When I'm so busy serving, then I forget to fellowship with him. That's the problem. And sometimes we have a hard time admitting that it's us. Is it ego? I can't answer. Is it a lack of focus, or is it too much focus on the wrong things? I've got to get this done. I've got to do this. I've got to do that. I've got to. We all find ourselves in that particular situation. There's a lot of different avenues of life. You know, when I got called to preach, or at least when I answered the call to preach, I really couldn't explain it to anybody. I couldn't. Well, why do you think you need to preach? I don't know. I just have to. It's a feeling inside. Being called of God is one thing, okay? I couldn't explain it. I just have to. It's a feeling he put inside of me. If I don't do it, something's wrong. But that's a little different than some other avenues of service. You know, sometimes we can focus on the deed rather than the object of that deed, being Christ Jesus. Colossians 3:17 says, "And whatsoever you do in word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God and the Father by him." Sometimes we have to be reminded that these deeds can happen without us doing them. In the church ministry, I've come to find out that people let you do whatever you want to do. Can I get a witness in the house this morning? You know, there's a reason we have these sayings in the church that 20% of the body does 80% of the work. We all can learn something from that and get plugged in and get involved, and there's nothing wrong with being involved in doing and serving. But sometimes our serving can become our idol. And it should not be that way. I've heard tell our E team needs some extra folks to assist in different, to learn how to work the board in this particular part of the service, to learn how to work the board in the back there so that Jim can possibly step out sometimes and just worship. Does that make sense? Sometimes we get in the rut like that and we get ourselves caught up in it. And then have y'all, I remember telling this illustration before. There was, or maybe even, yeah, illustration of a girl went to church and she had left home and gone off to college and she was rooming with her. I had a roommate and so forth, but man, she wasn't living the lifestyle that was of a Christian. She would go out and party and drink on Saturday night, and then she would go to church, and she'd get up, and her friend couldn't understand why she'd get up, and she'd go to church, and she thought, well, that must be pretty daggone cool. She gets up and goes to church, and there must be something she's getting from it, and the girl would come back home from church, and a roommate asked and said, well, how did church go? How was it this morning? Well, it's fine. Well, what did the preacher say? And the girl said, well, I really don't know. Well, why don't you know? You were there, right? Yeah, well, I fell asleep. Wake up! No, I'm kidding. She said, well, why did you just go over there and sleep? And she said, I don't know. It's just something I've always done. How many of us get caught in that same particular rut where just going is our ritual? And that we get caught up in just going. We're not going to be fed. We're not going to have things called out and pointed out in our lives that we get in the ritual, I guess you could say, of just going. I hope you didn't just come this morning just to come and check the box and say, I went. I hope you came to hear from the Lord. Because I've always done it that way. It's all I've ever known. You know, see, we have to get alone with him. You know, whether it's the first thing in the morning, or sometime during the day, or before we go to bed, we need to find some alone time with him. And that even Christ himself is the greatest example of this very thing. He would get along with the Father himself. You see, couples sometimes demand or desire time alone with one another, right? Parents sometimes desire this of their children. Miss Denise, you glad to have that boy home this morning? Amen. It's good to see him home. You know, sometimes we desire those intimate times with one another, of our spouse, of our children, of a friend, of a parent, or whatever it may be. I've been called April watching me sleep sometimes, and I'll wake up and, you know, she's sitting there smiling at me. I'm like, I ain't pretty when I sleep. You know, I don't know why you're smiling, but she I'll catch her staring at me. What are you doing? She said, just looking at you. Parents do that sometimes with their children too, right? Just a very intimate time. I'm looking at what God has blessed me with in my children, and and it may be the ugliest child in the world. I've never seen any. I've never seen any. None of the children here are ugly. But looking at your child and thinking, thank God, and just, but why do we have to wait till we're asleep to have that intimate time together? You see, we desire these things of ourselves, of our family member, of our closest relation and kin and so forth. Why wouldn't we desire the same thing of our Heavenly Father in that relationship? Ultimately, He desires to be that close with us and have that time as well. Christ doesn't desire to be waited upon in a delicate manner, but to be heard diligently. And this is what He especially requires of us. Matthew 28 says, even as the Son of Man came not to be ministered unto, but to minister and to give His life a ransom for many. Mark 10:45 says, for even the Son of Man came not to be ministered unto, but to minister and to give His life a ransom for many. What is it that we think that we can offer Him in our service that is so important that He's just going to be blown away and say, well, I don't know how that got done without you today. Think about that just for a moment. What are we doing in our service? Why do we see what we do in our service as being so important that He's just going to be blown away by it? We got to be careful. We got to be careful about that. Here, Lord, I got this, Lord. Let me do you a favor. Think about that just for a moment. Are we doing Him any favors? He can help us more than we'll ever be able to help Him. And I'll be honest with you, Brother Billy's sermons over the last couple of weeks, especially from that portion of Matthew 11:28, bless my soul, has been a good to me. And Matthew 11:28 says, come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, I will give you rest, and take my yoke upon you, and learn from me, for I am meek and lowly in heart, and you shall find rest unto your souls, for my yoke is easy and my burden is light. Boy, He's going to help me out a whole lot better than I'll be able to help Him. We got to be careful about our service doesn't become a burden for us and robbing us of our joy and our blessing of being able to serve. What can rob our joy? Well, lack of a devotion life. It's hard to rejoice in the Lord when you don't take time to know who He is. An unthankful spirit, ingratitude focuses our heart on minds, hearts and minds on our needs rather than on blessings. We can be dreaming outside the will of God. We can be comparing ourselves to others. We can have bad thoughts. We can have unresolved conflict. We can go on and on. But we've got to get right with Him by giving Him His due in our day. All things can be, you know, all things can be taken away in just a moment. Just ask Job if we could today. Just ask Job who lost everything. But Christ says, but one thing is needful, and Mary hath chosen that good part which shall not be taken away from her. While you're over there busy working and providing this perishing food for these dying bodies, Martha, Mary has chosen that spiritual portion which will last forever. And that shall not be taken away from her. I can lose my home. I can lose my health. I can lose my job. I can lose everything. But that which I've gained from Him can never be taken away. Never. But we got to get along with Him. Got to get along with Him at His feet. So don't let our service rob us of a joy or a blessing. And don't let the cost of serving Him hinder your worship. Now, if you'll turn with me to John chapter 11. John chapter 11. Now, we've already said that this particular visit from Jesus was more than just the King Himself, and it was His disciples as well. But if we really take notice of this Martha character, we'll see that there's no complaint from her in the amount of service that's to be done or what it costs to entertain this group. See, we look at Martha sometimes and we say, boy, we can't be like Martha. We can't be like Martha. But there's some good qualities about Martha. Some good qualities about Martha. Look at, let's see, John chapter 11, if you're there, say amen. That's verse 1. Now a certain man was sick named Lazarus of Bethany, the town of Mary. If you notice before what we read in Luke, it was pointed out it was the house of Martha. And now we're seeing about Bethany, the town of Mary. Maybe Mary is one of these individuals that would run all over town. She's just happy-go-lucky. But Martha was one of these homemakers. She just liked to stay at home and take care of things at home. I don't know. But nonetheless, this is pointed out for us this morning. The town of Mary and her sister Martha. It was that Mary which anointed the Lord with ointment and wiped His feet with her hair, whose brother Lazarus was sick. Verse 3, therefore his sister sent unto Him, saying, Lord, behold, he whom thou lovest is sick. And when Jesus heard that, He said that this sickness is not unto death, but for the glory of God, that the Son of God might be glorified thereby. Now Jesus loved Martha and her sister and Lazarus. For time's sake, skip on down to verse 20. Then Martha, as soon as she heard that Jesus was coming, went out to meet him, and Mary was still at the house. Notice the role reversal there? Martha has come out of the house, and she's the one that ran to meet Jesus. Then Martha said unto Jesus, Lord, if thou hast been here, my brother had not died, but I know that even now whatsoever thou wilt ask of God, God will give it thee. And Jesus saith unto her, thy brother shall rise again. Martha said unto him, I know that he shall rise again in the resurrection at the last day. And Jesus said unto her, I am the resurrection and the life. And he that believeth in me, though he were dead, yet shall he live. And whosoever liveth and believeth in me shall never die. Believest thou this? And she said, saith unto him, yeah, Lord, I believe that thou art the Christ, the Son of God, which should come into the world. That's a very peculiar statement at this particular time. He was going into the city of Samaria, but he had his face towards Jerusalem, so he was not well received there. In fact, he just went on around. He ends up coming down to here to Bethany, and he's about to make a journey, if you will, in Jerusalem. His mind is in that particular area. These are the Jerusalem being the main city, where everything happens, I guess you could say. But this is at a time when being associated with Jesus could have cost her freedom or even her life. She says this statement, I believe that thou art the Christ, the Son of God, which should come into the world. She didn't say it in the confines of her house. She said it out in the open where anybody that could have heard it punished her for what she said. How many times do we find ourselves not saying or speaking up on the behalf of Jesus? But boy, when we get in conversations in private, we'll say, oh, I believe, I'm a Christian. I go to that big church down the road. But she said it out in the open. See, we tend to look down on Martha, but here's old Martha this morning saying stuff out in the open that sometimes we won't do ourselves. And so we can't let the cost of serving him hinder our worship. That's a very big statement. Martha makes this comment without regard of the cost to her worship and fellowship with him. What hinders our true worship with him this morning and of him? What's holding you back from giving him your all this morning? Lifting up holy hands and saying, it ain't about me, it ain't about lunch, it's all about you. I'm here to focus on you, Lord. And it ain't got to be just here. It can be at home. It can be on the road. Keep your hands on the wheel, though. It can be anywhere you are worshiping him and giving him your all. You see, how can we spend what we have better than in Christ's service? I'm not knocking service. Let's give him our service, but don't let our service become our idol. There's coming a time when all that will be referred to him as a remnant, and the remnant to whom he's considered dear and to whom will be dear to him. There's coming a time when they won't find the people that will worship him in spirit and truth. Will you be one of those today? And then don't let your pride hinder your praise this morning. Let's go back to Luke 10 this morning, Luke chapter 10, where we started out, back to our original scripture. Old Martha is something that we can learn from, both good and bad, I guess you could say. But let's return to this passage and look at that scene again. Luke 10, and let's look at verse 40. But Martha was cumbered about much serving and came to him and said, Lord, dost thou not care that my sister hath left me alone to serve alone? Bid her therefore that she come and help me. And he says, Martha, Martha. You got to understand this. She's in there busy about it. And she, as J. Vernon McGee said, maybe she reached up top and she tried to grab that pot and it wasn't quite big enough. And she was putting it back on the shelf and another one fell down. And that just ruined her mindset. We kind of get caught up in those kind of things and we let the little things destroy our countenance, if you will. We let some of those little things get all over us and make us mad, if you will, sometimes. And she probably bust through that door. Not that they had a whole lot of doors at that time in their house. But she probably comes up in the door and she stands over Jesus. And you got to, like your mama probably did, put both hands on her hips. Hey, Jesus, dost thou not care? She's pronouncing something over the King of Kings as if she knows what's better for the situation than he does. Hey, Jesus, how about telling her to get up, come back in the kitchen and help me? Dost thou not care that she's left me alone? She's pronouncing something over Jesus. She is taking a position, if you will, standing over him. Oh my goodness, we can't ever let that happen. God will share everything he can with you, his son, his mercy, his grace, his love. He will share all that with you, but one thing he will not share is his glory. He will not share his glory, so why would we think that we can be proud and puffed up and be over him and say, we know what's best better than you do, Lord? How many get caught up in that situation? I'm waiting on the Lord, but I need to help him out. You've heard Brother Billy testify about that car he was going to buy that time. He's like, Lord, I really need that car. I'm waiting to hear from you. And he didn't wait on the Lord. He ended up with that car, and it wasn't but just a short time later, the car died on him. He said, I should have waited. Y'all, I hope you remember that. But she's standing over him, and she's pronouncing this, and he says, Martha, Martha. There's some other times that names have been repeated twice. Y'all remember old Simon Peter in Luke chapter 22? You can flip over there if you want to, but for time's sake, Luke 22:31 says, and the Lord says, Simon, Simon, behold, Satan hath desired to have you that he may sift you as wheat, but I have prayed for thee that thy faith fail not. And when thou art converted, strengthen thy brethren. And he saith unto him, Lord, I'm ready to go with thee, both into prison and to death. And he said, I tell thee, Peter, the cock shall not crow this day before thou, that thou shalt thrice deny me that thou knowest me. He repeated old Simon's name twice when his pride was starting to get puffed up, and he's telling him, hey, one of y'all is going to betray me. And he's like, oh, no, not this old boy. And Christ says, Simon, Simon, how about old Saul? Saul, as he in Acts chapter 9, as he journeyed, he came near Damascus, and suddenly there shined right about him a light from heaven, and he fell to earth, and I heard a voice saying unto him, Saul, Saul, why persecutest thou me? And he said, who art thou, Lord? And then the Lord said, I am Jesus whom thou persecutest. It's hard for thee to kick against the pricks. He also says to Jerusalem, oh, Jerusalem, Jerusalem, in Matthew 23. Oh, Jerusalem, Jerusalem, thou that killest the prophets and stonest them which are sent unto thee, how often would I have gathered thy children together as a hen gathereth her chickens under her wings, and you would not. Behold, your house is left unto you desolate, for I say unto you, shall not see me henceforth till you shall say, blessed is he that cometh in the name of the Lord. How many times have you heard your mom and dad call your name twice and kind of just shake their head at you? I kind of feel that way when I enter in the pulpit sometimes. God's going, Brad. Oh, Brad. You see, pride can get in the way when we want to stand over him, or we want to pronounce some type of judgment, or we want to say something that we know better than he is. We know something a lot about the situation that'll get us further down the road than what he knows for us to be. Pride's going to stop true praise and worship. It's by far our greatest stumbling block in worship. And if you're not careful, we can become proud of our humility even. Being proud of our gifts will lead us to show a display in order to impress others and reveals a secret craving for applause. How many times do we want somebody to pat us on the back? Self-will, the ugly twin of pride is self-will. One of the saddest stories in the Bible that deals with self-will is the story of Aaron's two sons. Y'all remember old Nadab and Abihu who offered strange fire before the Lord? They knew how to be a part of proper worship, and yet they willingly disobeyed. And as a result, they paid a very, very heavy price. They died. Praise and worship has got to have its foundation in the Word of God, and self-will is not going to go unpunished in the presence of God. We got to realize that no person can worship God as they please. We got to come to God on His terms and not ours. How about our old religious spirit? Don't we know more than other people because we come to Baptist church? Think about that just for a second. You know what you need to do? How many of you get caught up in saying, this is what you should do. If I were you, here's what I'd do. We get caught up in that. But we can have that old ugly religious spirit about us too. That's someone who refuses to have the fullness of God in their life. A religious person wants to control God instead of surrendering all control to God. And true worshipers seek a relationship with God, not a religious system that claims to know about him. I don't come to you this morning in the name of religion. I come to you because of Jesus Christ. And that's who I would love for you to know in a real and personal way this morning, not the Baptist way, not the Benson Grove Baptist way, not even the church way. It's the Jesus Christ way. That's what I long for everybody to know. Religion ain't done anybody any good. But Jesus Christ has made all the difference if you'll trust in him. I mean, what if he were to come to our home? What if he were to come to our home? Could it be today? Be honest. How many would let Jesus come into your house today? A handful. Well, you know, Jesus, how about Thursday? How about Thursday, Jesus? That'll give us time to clean the house up, right? That'll give us time, right? That'll give us time to set out the dishes in the dining room that we never use, right? That'll get us time. That'll get us time to clean up the house. Children, you got to clean your rooms. Get that dirt pile of dirty clothes down. Jesus can't see that kind of stuff. It smells in here. How many of you had teenage boys? Pray for us. Just pray for us. Whew. We'd have to make an appointment. But if he were to come, would it be on our own terms? Think about it. Now answer this to yourself. If he were to come to our house today, would it be on our own terms? Would we try to dictate the conversation? Would we even try to keep the time limited on his visitation at our home? Everybody needs to be here by 7 o'clock. Jesus says he'll be here by 7:30, maybe an hour-ish. And then we'll watch the game afterwards, okay? Would we be honest with him when he's at our home? I remember my pastor when I was probably in high school, Brother Charles Stevens, came by the house. Man, I didn't know preachers were that cool. He just told some stories, and we had fellowship, and we all laughed and messed around, and he came to the house. Man, it was a great visit. I got to know him a little bit better. You know, that's one of the things that we've kind of lost sight of, is that relationship with one another. We get so walled up in our own homes that we forget how to reach out. You know, there's a vertical relationship for us to mind between him and us and him, right? But he's also commanded us to have a horizontal relationship with one another. And we've kind of knocked that down on the totem pole, so to speak. We're too busy. So we can't let our pride hinder our praise. I don't want to be above him. I want to be caught at his feet, listening to the teacher. You know, it was interesting. I didn't get a whole lot to it and don't want to spend a lot of time on it right at the moment. But Mary was found at his feet. That's a position of saying, you know better or more than I do, and I'm going to listen and I'm going to take. But it was also interesting that she was a woman. Most rabbis wouldn't teach women. And he says she's chosen that which is needful. It ain't going to be taken away from her. Doesn't matter who you are. Doesn't matter your background. Doesn't matter where you came from, where you think you are even today. Let's find ourselves at the feet of Jesus so it'll make a difference in who we are tomorrow, today, even tomorrow. You see, he's the one that's inviting us to the table. I tell you, there's one last thing. There's an individual I've told you guys before I work with at the state, and she's gone and retired and so forth, been a number of years. And actually the angel wings that we get for the drama or for Judgment House, she provided to us because she does a lot of drama with her church. But I just thought she was one of the neatest people because she says just sometimes she lives by herself or her sister. And sometimes she says, sometimes I'll put on a song and I'll dance like I'm dancing with my father. And I'm like, well, that's okay. If he's, you know. And she says, no, I dance with my heavenly father like I'm dancing with my dad standing on his feet, how he used to guide me. She said, and sometimes when the Spirit's moving in my life, she said, sometimes I just set an extra place at the table for Jesus. I'm not that close to him like I could be. I haven't thought about him like my daddy. Man, let's go and sit out in the shop, Daddy. Let's go sit on the tailgate of the truck and let's talk about them big old V8s. Daddy, I have an earthly father, and I love my daddy very much. They may be listening in this morning, but when was the last time we really considered our relationship with him in that manner? And yet he's the one that's inviting us to, let's commune together. Let's get alone with one another just so we can talk. And when was the last time we really accepted the invitation or opened up the door to receive him? Not only in our physical homes, but in this one. He's the one that's inviting us. The song we sang today, Come and Dine, he's the one who's already set the table. He's the one that's already prepared the meal. He's the one that's going to direct the conversation. He's the one that sits in awaiting for us to accept his invitation and is longing for our devotion to him. Jesus has a table spread where the saints of God are fed. He invites his chosen people, come and dine. Oh, with his manna he doth feed and supplies our every need. Oh, 'tis sweet to sup with Jesus all the time. Come and dine, the master calleth. Come and dine. You may feast at Jesus' table all the time. He who fed the multitude, turned the water into wine. To the hungry calleth now, come and dine. Maybe you're trying to feast on some other things in life that are filling you up and haven't left you with an appetite for Jesus. Maybe you've not given him proper time in your life. Maybe you have no devotion time. I encourage you to get that straight. Give him more. He gave us our everything in Jesus Christ. He don't owe us a thing this morning, but we owe him our everything. Communion with Jesus is what we're looking. See, these are lessons from the lives of Martha and Mary that we've talked about this morning. And we can find ourselves, it could be the lessons from the life of Brad. Because I don't give him all he's deserving of this morning. I'll be able to admit that to you. But would you admit that to him this morning? Maybe you're here this morning and you've never heard of this person named Jesus. You never understood that he's invited you into a personal relationship with him this morning. Can I assure you this morning? He longs to be your Savior. He wants you to know that he loves you. Regardless of what you've done in times past, he loves you. And you can come to him just like you are this morning. He'll do the rest of the work that needs to be done in your life. Don't get caught up in a religious thought thinking you need to get yourself right before you can come to him. Come to him and trust in him. He'll do the changing. But it's believing in him that'll make the difference in your life this morning. There's a song, if you'd allow me to play this morning. Miss Brenda, you can come on as well. But I want you to think about this as you listen to it this morning. I have it somewhere. There it is. I'll be on 14 again, I think. But it's entitled, Sitting at the Feet of Jesus. Old song that doesn't make it into our books, but it says, Sitting at the feet of Jesus, oh, what words I hear him say. Happy place, so near, so precious. May it find me there each day. Sitting at the feet of Jesus, I would look upon the past, for his love has been so gracious, it has won my heart at last. Sitting at the feet of Jesus, where can mortal be more blessed? There I lay my sins and sorrows, and when weary, find sweet rest. Sitting at the feet of Jesus, there I love to weep and pray, while I'll from his fullness gather grace and comfort each day. Bless me, O Savior, bless me, as I sit low at thy feet. Oh, look down in love upon me there. Let me see thy face so sweet. Give me, Lord, the mind of Jesus. Keep me as holy as he is. May I prove I've been with Jesus, who is all my righteousness. Would you be willing to get yourself down at the feet of Jesus? Would you come to this old-fashioned altar this morning and say, it's been about me just a little bit too much, Lord? I've said in times past, and if he's not Lord of all, he may not be Lord at all. Think about that just for a moment. If he's not Lord of all in your life, he may not be Lord at all.